I'm getting used to it. I love it.
Welcome back to another Edge Got In podcast, and happy Good Friday today. Thank you for pushing the pause button to join us as we continue our journey where we left off from our last podcast. Whose voice are you listening to? Up your faith factor. We're taking a little journey through the Gospels, specifically focusing on Luke. We're going to pull in a couple other ones that link that connection between the faith and the healing, particularly in these times of uncertainty. How's your faith? How's your faith doing? Where are you at with that? We know where we're at when the anxiety and the stress level and fear starts to spill into our behavior, our intonation, our judgments, our lack of involvement, our lack of willingness to be available for the Holy Spirit, because fear wants to lock us up and shut us down. And Jesus wants to empower us to go forth, particularly during times like this, and to make him recognizable. So thank you for joining us today at Edge Got In. Our mission statement at Edge Got In is to champion human potential in Christ, to champion your human potential in Christ. And you could visit us and explore more podcasts at edgegodin.com. So if you're moved from today's podcast, help us spread the word. This is a work of God. This is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're all in this together. So let's begin and jump into our topic today, our continued conversation in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you gave it all. You didn't hold anything back to win our hearts. We are so blessed. And we're so grateful that you prayed for us during your last moments on earth. You actually prayed for us, those who would believe without seeing what the disciples saw. Thank you that you had us in mind, in your heart, when you were nailed to the cross. And when you uttered those words out of the midst of your acute pain, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. That you had us in mind and in your heart. Jesus, help us to expand our ability to really understand what that all means for us moving forward. In the midst of the time of uncertainty that we're walking through, we want to rededicate ourselves to you in a way that is fueled by complete surrender. Have your way with us, Lord. Help us to hear your voice quicker today than yesterday. Help us to have eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to respond. What do you want us to do today? You have died and risen again to win us over, to make God recognizable in this world. We want to be your hands and your heart, your facial expressions, your intonations, to win the hearts of your people through mercy. You always spoke a message of mercy, which evoked love in the hearts of those people that were open to receiving it, which ended up sparking faith, which resulted in the healing, whether it be emotional, physical, spiritual. Lord, we need you. Remember us when you come into your kingdom. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So I'm blessed again, always blessed, to be joined by my dear friend and colleague, Jen Klopek. She's also the co-author of a book that we put out by God's grace this summer called Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You. We speak in these podcasts on many of the themes contained in that book, Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You. And we offer you 25 solutions in that book to refresh your identity in Christ. So may today's teaching refresh your identity in Christ. Jen, you and I were just actually talking about how apropos that book is to this time of uncertainty, and when God put it on our heart to put it together last spring, not knowing we'd be in this situation, and having so much pressure on the outside to determine our behavior, not even knowing we'd be in this season.
It's amazing, Lauren. Like you said, we were talking about it, and I took a book off the bookshelf of mine and looked at the front cover, and just the people walking around, just looking in all different directions, and one woman looking up. This is the front cover of the book, and then a lion kind of roaring around. And it just reminded me of what I'm seeing and witnessing, you know, via the news or just going out, you know, keeping socially distant in grocery stores, just people walking around, and I'm very uncertain right now, and letting the world be the boss of them, whether they're, mm-hmm. you know, watching news and fearful or whatever emotion it is that's bumping up against them. I just heard something recently, and I'd love to just share this briefly. When we have circumstances and situations happen to us, we can change the one word and something happening to you. How is this thing happening for us? And even in this, amidst this whole coronavirus outbreak, we could be victimizing, this is happening to us right now, but how could we change that to how is this happening for us, and and shifting that mindset? And I think about our book, we give really practical solutions of when we're getting bumped up against the world and tossed around, when we think we're trapped in that, this is happening to me type of situation, that we really flip the message to, you know, this happened for us. And I know in the beginning of the book, Lauren, you share your testimony, and, you know, you had a lot of things happen to you, which brought you to the Lord, which is ultimately for you.
Mm. That's so well said. And particularly now, I know that I've been spilling out of myself in and out the last couple of weeks. I'm sure listeners, I'm not alone with that. You start off with confidence in the Lord, and all of a sudden, shazam, your eyes are wide open at 12 o'clock at night because you have a sore throat.
Yes.
And so I know I share that slithering serpent of fear. We all share that. And so it's that stop letting the world be the boss of you. We know who is in the world, who is slithering around, roaring like a roaring lion, prowling around, looking for someone to devour. Holy Spirit, protect us, protect us. So I'm going to continue the conversation that we started from the last podcast, Whose Voice Are You Listening To? Upping Your Faith Factor. Our focus on today, a learning objective, is to expand your understanding, and we're always learning as the Holy Spirit speaks through us during this podcast, to understand the connection between mercy. God desires mercy. Mercy triumphs over anything. Mercy, 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 and again, mercy. I took a 2-year biblical studies course, and the theme of mercy is so powerful. And it evokes, when you watch Jesus walk through the world when his mission was set on fire after his baptism by John the Baptist, mercy, he led with mercy, which evoked love in every encounter, which sparked the faith or not. That was that choice point. The mercy and the love were always there with Jesus. Wherever he walked, he had mercy, which evoked love, which sparked the faith, which led to the healing. So keep that in mind as we're walking through these specific scriptures, the connection between mercy, love, which unlocks or sparks faith, which leads to healing. Mercy evokes love, which sparks faith, which leads to healing. You can take this container and pour in any miracle that or teaching that Jesus brings up, or the red letters as they're referred to. And you just take that container, mercy evokes love, which sparks faith, which leads to healing. And Jen, you and I were having a little conversation about this before, and it's amazing when we just pause and think, wow, this is so true, right?
It's so true.
We can have that. We can have that experience. So the first scripture that I'm going to continue from last week is the book of Luke, what we did from the last teaching, the last podcast. So we're going through the book of Luke and looking at scriptures that have that connection of faith and what happened with that faith that unlocked the lesson. In Luke chapter 17, verse 6, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now let's apply that to this time of uncertainty. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to your anxiety, to your fear, to your doubt, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. You have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the grave. Thanks be to God. We're told that Jesus was constantly asking us to go deeper with this. Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? We also read in Luke chapter 18, verse 42, Jesus was speaking to the blind man that he had healed. When he approached Jericho, there was a blind man sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd was going by him, he said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He called out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And what's interesting, those who led the way rebuked him and told him, be quiet. Don't bother him. Basically, don't bother him. There's another podcast at Edge Got In called Are You Interruptible? And if you haven't listened to that one yet, I invite you to explore that one. Jesus was interrupted multiple times. On the way to one healing, he'd be interrupted again. In this one, he allowed himself to be interrupted by the calling because of the mercy that he was carrying constantly, the mercy of God through Christ, the mercy of God through Christ. And he paused and Jesus stopped and he asked a very curious question here to the blind man. He knows he's blind, yet he understands the connection of faith and how that unlocks the healing. So mercy and love stop Jesus. He comes back and ordered the man to be brought to him. And he says, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, his sight was restored completely. Again, this is that connection between mercy evokes love, which sparked the faith. What do you want me to do for you? Lord, I want to see. His faith was sparked, which unlocked the healing. And then we flip to chapter 20. Actually, chapter 21. This is a different container where the mercy evokes love, which sparks faith and healing, and a teachable moment. This was the teachable moment of the widow, and Jesus paused and saw that she only had two small copper coins and says, I tell you the truth, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all of the others. All these people gave gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, gave all she had. Now, you can link this story to when the rich man comes to Jesus and says, Master, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? Go and sell everything you have. Everything? And then come follow me. We can also take this even deeper. Go sell everything you have. Your position, your popularity, your need to be right, liked, understood, what you think, what you want, what you need. Sell it all. Sell it all. And be transformed. Be born again, as he spoke to Nicodemus. I tell you the truth. This poor widow has put in more than all the others. Now, how can she do this? Faith. He's having mercy on her trust and love that God provides. Do we? Jen, this is an interesting invitation we have here, because it's the faith that she has that God will provide that allows her to put her two copper coins in, and Jesus sees it. His mercy and love stops him in his tracks, and he has a teachable moment, which as you go through the red letters, you'll see that same flow, mercy evokes love, which sparks faith, which evokes the healing, or the teachable lesson.
Absolutely. And it's a choice, Lauren, too. This faith, when you think about it, we have free will, we have choice. It just says the rich man had a choice, and this poor woman, she gave out of poverty. Mm-hmm. That was a choice, and that choice was based off of faith. And we have a choice based off of faith of what we want to do. And when you just put it into context of sell out, you know, popularity, possessions, your position, you know, even your pace in which you live life. A lot of us are our identity. And that's what the book's about, our identities and a lot of other things. And this woman knew where to place her identity and her trust, and not in the temporal and what is seen, but that is what's not seen and what's eternal. And praise God for those eternal blessings, which far outweigh what is temporal here on earth. Which even today being Good Friday and what Jesus did for us, talk about mercy, Lauren. Mm-hmm. And as you were talking, just so the listeners, you know, get a better understanding of what mercy means, I actually looked it up, and mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone. And that's what Christ did on the cross for us. And it's just, it's mind blowing if we all just sit here and let that sink in.
It's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it's undeserved. God's mercy that he pours out to us is undeserved. And how grateful and blessed we are when we receive that gift.
Jen, you were telling me about a verse that you were kind of contemplating.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Why don't you share that now? Because I'm feeling that that's...
I think that's great. And it's mm-hmm. interesting, Lauren, you know, as often we come on, we just do this thing. We don't practice the podcast surprise audience. We just, it's however the Holy Spirit leads us. And the verse that I wanted to talk about are the verses from Luke 5, 17 through 26 involves a miracle, which you're talking about. All miracles, the components of miracles are love, mercy, faith, and ultimately healing. And this is a man who's paralyzed. I'm just setting the context a little bit. A man who's been paralyzed for a while. He can't get out of his bed and he can't walk. And so on one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And I just want to pause there. That's just a testimony to Jesus's popularity and those who wanted to be in his presence and learn from him and hear of what he had to say. When you have people coming from every village, so even there, people are beginning to place their faith and trust in the words that he has to say. And with that being said, it says, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. So again, miracles. God was with Jesus. Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Trinity. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed. Imagine that, Lauren. Nowadays, you got a man on a bed coming down the middle of a street who was paralyzed, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. Jesus mm-hmm. performed other miracles. They started hearing about this, and they knew of the mercy and the love of Jesus, and they were bringing this man before Jesus because of his love and mercy. But finding no way to bring him in to where Jesus was teaching, because of the crowd, one up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles into the midst before Jesus. So here these men are carrying a bed, hoisting it up because they knew that Jesus would meet this man and them in that moment. They had that faith, which is amazing. And so Jesus saw this happening. Imagine Jesus is praying and teaching and has this huge crowd. And then this man gets lowered, you know, through the rooftop. And when Jesus saw her faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And when I read that immediately, I thought, wow, Jesus didn't heal the man first. I thought that in my logical brain that would happen. But Jesus saw the faith of the friends. And how many times right now I've reached out to you, Lauren, my dear friend, Bonnie, all sorts of friends that I know have a strong faith to help walk beside me in these moments of isolation and coronavirus. And so sometimes our friend's faith carries us through. And I think this was shown here that Jesus even said, and when he, Jesus, saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus knows exactly what we need. It may not be what we want. It is exactly what we need. So Jesus knew that his eternal salvation was more important than being healed and his physical restoration. But Jesus doesn't stop there. So I do want to read the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. So then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is speak? Blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? So they were questioning, and that's the worrying around the demons and the spirits that question what God and Jesus do. When Jesus perceived all knowing, so Jesus was all knowing, he could perceive their thinking. He answered them, why do you question in your hearts? Which is easier to you, your sins are you, or to say, rise and walk? I think that's what they were expecting Jesus to say, was to rise and walk based on the other miracles that they saw him perform. So their faith was lacking, thinking that Jesus wasn't going to heal this man, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home, glorifying God. Lauren, that's that healing. And when we are healed, God gets all of the glory. And that's what our purpose is to bring God glory. That's why we are human beings are created, not to bring ourselves glory, but to bring God glory. And an amazement sees them all. And so can you imagine this crowd? It's totally amazed. Not only did God forgive this man of his sins, but he healed them, And they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. It's just amazing. The love, mercy, faith, and healing was weaved all throughout that miracle. Mm.
And I love it too, just particularly during this time. Who of your, just to ask listeners, who are your go-to people during this time? Mm. And when you spend time with those go-to people, do you feel lifted up and moved closer to God? Do you feel as if your A-team, so to speak, is able to edify you in the Lord? We're called to encourage one another as long as it's called today. Because it's very easy when we are occupying this space of fear, self-doubt, and worry to lose our identity in that and get our identity hijacked so much so that it becomes our temporary reality. We speak about it. We talk to other people about it. We think about it. We post about it. We react to comments. We defend it. It becomes a part of who we are. And that's where Satan has a heyday with us in our mind, between our two ears. And I remember when I was going through advanced cancer and divorce at the same time, how many times Satan tried to hijack my mind. You're going to die. You're going to leave three young children, 8, 10, and 12. You're not going to get through this. And as I mentioned, I believe in last podcast, fear has three support systems underneath it. Three belief systems, actually. The first is, I'm not okay. The second is, I can't handle this. And the third one is, I might die. And those three support systems, I'm sure listeners, you can relate to that. The next time you're spun, which if you're in nurse school, you'll probably get in a nurse school class in the next 24 hours to give you the opportunity to apply this questioning, to push back on the questioning. You're not okay. You're not going to be able to handle this. You might die. People you love might die. Mm. Talk back. Don't allow that to be the last say. Talk back like Jesus did in Luke 4. Up your game to refuse to allow that to be the last word. Allow, which is why the topic of our discussion is, whose voice are you listening to? The world screams and God whispers. And to use our transitional times as mini retreats to get back in the shadow of the cross, not the shadow of the world, the shadow of the cross, or to dwell in the shadow of the Almighty versus the shadow of the world. I'm going to step into Luke chapter 21 because Jesus gives us four specific directions. What do we do in end times? And when I was going through cancer, I thought that was the end time for me many times. I only have 5 years to live. My kids are 8, 10, and 12. And it really became very clear to me that we are just passing through here. We are just pilgrims here. And as my mom so wisely said to me, Lauren, we all don't know when our time will come, when God calls us home. You've just been made acutely aware of that. Now, we've all been made acutely aware of that with this coronavirus. So what do we do? This is considered the end times in our mind in a lot of ways. Let's go to scripture and find some key guidance from the Lord, the red letters of Jesus speaking. In chapter 21, verse 10, Jesus said to him, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence or pandemics in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and they will persecute you. Have you felt persecuted for your faith? Are you resurrecting, being that this is Good Friday, a newfound courage and confidence to witness your faith to the people around you? Or as I prayed before we jumped on this call, I'm totally guilty of pulling out my faith in certain situations, but keeping it in the shadows in other situations for fear that I won't be given an opportunity. If I mention Jesus, there's no way I'll get that account." And so God is really drawing me near on this. And I encourage listeners, take this to the Lord. Where have you been storing? What have you been storing in terms of having that consistency of declaring your faith? And what's going on behind that? Pray for God to give you some wisdom into that too. He's really working on my heart on this as well. Then it goes on to say, "They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them." First step that Jesus gives us, and I circled this, chapter 21, verse 14. In spite of everything that's around you, Jesus says, but make up your mind. That means set your mind. Don't let your mind set you. That means stepping into Romans 1-2. Do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The other scripture that backs that up is take every thought captive. How are you doing with that? Taking every thought captive. Jesus gives us the first guidance here in verse 14. Make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. You of little faith, why do we doubt? So first step is make up your mind not to worry. Love this. Make up your mind not to worry. We go on. We're getting closer to the second step. Beforehand, how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you the words and the wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed by parents, brothers, relatives, friends, and some of them will put you to death, whether it's a physical death or whether it's a death emotionally, whether it's accusations, stone throwing. All men will hate you because of me, and not on your hair on your head will perish. Second command in the midst of uncertainty and hectic times, end times, speaking of here. First one is make up your mind not to worry. Second one is verse 19, stand firm. By standing firm, you will save yourselves. Stand firm against anxiety. Stand firm against fear. Stand firm against worry. Remember that the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it. Remember that the one who calls you died to give you the strength, the courage, the wisdom to have a spirit, not of timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. Then, so the first step he gives us here in chapter 21 is make up your mind not to worry. Second one is stand firm. That's how we save ourselves. He goes on to say, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, you will know that desolation is near. Let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the cities get out. And let those who are in the countryside not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment and fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be in those days. He goes on to talk about how dreadful this will be. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, nation. There'll be anguish around the entire world at what is going on. Men will faint from terror. We're seeing a lot of this terror, a lot of anxiety. Either way, this is our prep work. Whether it's today or whether it's 100 years from now, 5 years from now, this is our prep work. Make up your mind not to worry. Second one, verse 19, stand firm. Stand firm in the Lord, that you would save yourselves. The third and the fourth command come in from verse 34 through 36, which says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, escape. He's talking about escape. Be careful not to give in to an urge to escape this. Drunkenness and anxieties of life. Be careful. He's giving us a warning here, or your hearts will be weighed down by dissipation. This applies to what we're going through today, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Be very careful how you respond to this, in the flesh or in the spirit. Wanting to escape dissipation, drunkenness, anxieties of life, so that that day won't close in on you unexpectedly like a trap. Verse 35, for it will come upon you, upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. We're going through something like this. This affects everyone in the entire planet. Be always on the watch and pray. There's our step three, step four, command three and command four. Watch and pray that you may be able to escape what's about to happen or what is happening and be able to stand before the Son of Man. So again, set your mind not to worry. Stand firm in Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. Watch. Keep watch on yourself, your behaviors, who you're giving free rein to, fear, self-doubt, worry. And ultimately, in the midst of setting your mind not to worry, standing firm, watching your behavior, your thought life, your reactions, who you're trusting in. Are you letting the world be the boss of you? Or are you letting the words of Christ allow you to have that resurrected strength and courage? And pray that you may be able to escape what's about to happen. We can apply this prayer right now, Jen, by simply saying, dear God, I pray that you would grant me the strength to step out of anxiety, worry, doubt with what I'm seeing with my eyes in the world right now. Help me to set my mind not to worry. Help me to stand firm in you. Grant me the strength, sweet Jesus, to listen to your voice, to stand firm in what I allow my eyes to see, how I spend my time, what do I fill my mind with, to stand firm in my commitment to fill my mind with your words versus the words of the world. Help me to keep watch over all my behaviors and reactions based on fear, self-doubt, and worry. Help me to keep watch and to stand firm against the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, to take me out. Up my game of faith and my faith factor, God. Help me to experience your mercy, which evokes love, which sparks faith, that you have got my back, that you are the great deliverer, regardless of anything outside of me or any predator inside of me. We give you authority. You sit on your throne, even at the center of my mitochondria, the center or the engines to my cell. I give you authority to sit on the throne. And I pray all of this in your most precious name, so that my peace would be consistent. My courage would outweigh timidity. And my faith would carry me above the tumultuous waters into your heart, that I would stand firm and be able to stand firm before you, Jesus, when you come again, or when you call me home. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Jen, any closing thoughts?
Well, you've mentioned it a couple times, Lauren, and it's something I've recently done, and I haven't even shared this with you yet. I didn't have a red letter Bible. And for the listeners, if you're not sure of what Lauren's talking about, it's a Bible, and the Bible is, printed in black font. However, in a red letter Bible in the New Testament, all the words of Jesus are in red letters. And so just recently, I purchased a red letter Bible. And what I'm doing at nighttime, it's to do this formula that Lauren gave you, the set your mind, stand firm, watch behaviors, and pray. I've been reading through the New Testament, just reading the red letters of Jesus and his words. And I'm telling you, in the midst of all of this craziness, it's been a beautiful thing. So that would just be my encouragement, is just to read Jesus's words, meditate on them, stand firm, and watch your behaviors absolutely moving forward. So thank you, Lauren, for allowing me to be here on this Good Friday day. And we know that Jesus, the story doesn't end here. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, he was resurrected, and he ascended into heaven and is now seated at the right hand of God. And that's just a beautiful thing. And I always say, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And one of these days we're going to have that opportunity. And if we know Christ and have accepted him as our Savior, that's going to be a glorious day.
Absolutely. And that's the faith factor of the thief on the cross.
Yes, absolutely. So can I end with that, Lauren?
Please.
Okay. I think it's a good one. So that is Luke 23. That Lauren is referencing, and it's the thief that was dying on the cross next to Jesus. So as you might know, Jesus was on the cross, and two thieves or murderers were hanging on the cross. And so one of the criminals who were hanged started yelling at Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." So he was really mocking him. But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man, Jesus, has done nothing wrong." And Jesus saw the faith of that man. That man didn't even have to say anything. He just saw, it's the behaviors that you're talking. It's our faith walking out in action. And he said, Jesus,
through mercy and love,
me.
He said, through mercy and love.
Yes, through mercy and love. And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, Jesus said to the man, "Through mercy and love, like you said, Lauren, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Wow. And that is that. That's just amazing. And that's where I base that, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is that scripture, that verse that I hang on to, because it's immediately that you're transported from earth into heaven. That's the understanding that I have of the Bible. And it's just it's beautiful. And that man's faith, whether or not your faith comes at the end of your life, like this man, or, like Lauren, you and I have our faith, we've been walking with Christ for a while now. It doesn't matter, but this is a great opportunity. If listeners, you have put in your faith in Christ, and you're not sure, we'd love to talk to you somehow. So get in touch. Lauren, I'm sure, got her information on her website, and we'd love to walk you through that process.
Absolutely. And it's opening up your heart to Jesus and believing in your heart, declaring with your mouth, "Jesus, I love you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have sinned. I've gone through hardship. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior, just like the thief on the cross. I've stolen a lot of good things in this world through my behavior. So forgive us, Lord. Come into our hearts, be enthroned. Now moving forward in all that we are, we dedicate and surrender our entire life to you. Show us what that feels like, looks like, and sounds like moving forward. And help us to remember that there's no lag time between being away from the body and at home with you, or away from the Lord and home with the body. That one heartbeat stops here and it starts with you. One breath is exhaled here and inhaled with you. There's no lag time, Lord. No lag time. because you conquered death to give us that life. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Oh.
And Lauren, just, I know it's the, another thing that the Lord's really pressing on my heart right now is sometimes we think in times like these, like really just trying to share our faith, and we make it so complicated sometimes. And I've heard my pastor say four words really for sharing the testimony of Christ is God, sin, Christ, you. God created the world. Sin separates us from God. God sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And you have a decision to make of whether you believe that or not. And I just shared it with us in less than a minute. So I encourage listeners, remember, if you are sharing with neighbors now, or you're not quite sure, and you know, Lauren had confessed that both her and I are trying to do more of this right now and to get out of our own way. That's just a great little formula to remember when you're sharing Christ with someone else.
That's beautiful. I love that, Jen. Thanks for, I think I might put that on the podcast as well. So text me that.
Yes, I will.
Cause that is beautiful. And I'll have this with this podcast, and you'll be able to see this podcast at edgegodin.com. And it'll have the scriptures that we referenced today as well as the learning objective from today and a prayer that goes along with our learning objective for today. So peace be with you. Jesus, remember us when you come into your kingdom. Enjoy your Good Friday and your celebration of Easter. And what's so beautiful is it's always Easter with the risen Lord. And so we're so grateful for that. So enjoy your gift of life today. And again, you can visit us at edgegodin.com. The book we referenced was Stop Letting the World Be the Boss of You. 25 solutions to refresh your identity in Christ, because it's easy to get hijacked these days. God's favor to you, and we look forward to another time of fellowship soon.